this project came to the Social Economy Research Network of Northern Canada from Mary Ellen Thomas, who put us together with the SAO and the then mayor of Iglulik, because they were interested in getting their community ready and getting themselves ready for the prospect of the Baffinlands mine. The first thing they realized is that they didn't have sufficient baseline data about conditions in the community. So we talked for almost 3 or 9 months about what the project should be like, and then began to do the work. So you can see what the goals were from the community point of view. And what it's going to help us do is it'll give us very current, very fresh information, empirically based, very solid information about the dynamics of the Iglulik social economy. I'll say a little bit more about that later. This is really truly a partnership. We used a memorandum of understanding to set up the working relationship. We've made all the decisions together. The funding is shared. Some of it comes from SHRC grants that from Cernoka and another SHRC grant. Some of it comes from the Hamlet. The work we've been doing is shared. I'll explain about that in a minute. And of course, the results will be shared. The data will be shared. These are the Iglulik collaborators, the people who have. We started with Paul Kwasa as the mayor, and then there was an election, and now Lucasie is the mayor. We have his strong support. But we haven't listed the Hamlet Council here, but they've been very important in our deliberations and in setting up the project. Ruben Mokhtar was assigned to work with Sheena Kennedy, the graduate student I was mentioning. And then Simon was particularly important. He's taken a strong interest in our work, and we had interviewers in the community, and they're listed there. I want to very quickly go through what the steps were in this project just so you can see what our process is like. But I won't read everything here. I just only to say that we had a long time of a period of planning. Sheena spent time in the community in about a month in the summer of 2009. She was learning about the community and meeting people, but she also conducted an employer and a business survey so that we know, we have lots of information about payroll sizes, numbers of employees in various government and private enterprises and so on, and social economy enterprises. Then we had the help of Brian Fleming, the SAO, Jack Hicks, who used to be the statistician here for the GN, a colleague of mine, Jean Swimmer at Carleton, and then Gina and I worked on the survey instruments or the questionnaires. We're still working on them. we go back to that one. That's Sheena and Ruben. She couldn't be here, but she really wanted to be here. The first questionnaire we administered just last month, and Sheena is in Ottawa now organizing it. That questionnaire was a census. We went to every household in the community. There are 340 dwellings of various kinds. And it looks like we're going to have close to 300 completed questionnaires. They provide what's called, it's a sort of a grid. They provide basic demographic information, how many people, what ages, their genders. And then we ask them a series of questions, very, very general questions about their productive activity, harvesting and wage employment, and caregiving activities of various kinds. And the reason that we did that was so that we could have an overview of the community that would allow us to select a sample for the second questionnaire. Could go to the next slide. And that second questionnaire is going to ask people about all kinds of questions about their productive activity, harvesting, the use of harvested goods, wage employment, other sources of income. There's carvers there and other people who make their money from artistic production, as well as various kinds of different sorts of wage employment, different patterns of wage employment. So that's in that second questionnaire. And we will be providing the Hamlet with two different reports in the first instance. The first one is just the basic tombstone information, the basic demographic information that was in the first questionnaire. The second one will be a much more complicated analysis of the dynamics of the labor force that's based on our sample. We're going to try to talk to about a third of the people, a third to a half of the people who are of working age. Next slide, please. Our schedule now has us marking the end of the project in June 2010. I'm not sure we'll make that deadline, but we're planning to be in a position to give the community a database with all of the statistics on it, of course, presented so that the people who answered the questions are anonymous, but it'll be a database that they can use for various purposes, as well as a final report, which we haven't yet agreed on an outline in terms of what exactly we're going to cover, but it will be built on those two other reports that are just the summaries of what was in the questionnaires. Okay, next slide. So here's an overview of the kinds of information that we're collecting. You can read it, right? Well, not everybody can read it, but you can read it. Just while you look at it, I might say a word about how we're going to handle the data. There is the issue of anonymity, of confidentiality in small communities. And so what we've agreed is that because we needed to attach people's names to the interviews or to be able to do that in order to do the second phase of the study, which was meant to be a baseline study about people of working age, we needed to be able to know who we interviewed and what they said, so that if the community wants in 5 years to interview the same people to see what happened, or in 10 years to see what happened to them, we needed to know the names of the people who answered particular questions. The Hamlet were not comfortable with having that information in the office because they were afraid that in a few years or accidentally people's privacy might be violated. And so we'll be keeping that data in a secure location at Carleton, actually locked away in the archive. And it will be sort of on call, so it might be us or it might be another team of researchers in 5 years or 10 years who do a second study to be able to track what's happened in the productive activity. They'll be able to find the people, or they'll know who were interviewed. But the database that the community is going to get will be innocent of names. They won't be able to, in principle, they won't be able to identify the people who answered the questions. And we'll have to put some safeguards in because it's a small place. We'll have to put some safeguards in so you wouldn't be able to guess very easily who answered the questions. And I'm sure this is technically possible. Next. These are the uses for the information. On the community planning, the Hamlet people in Igloo didn't actually know for sure how many people were there. They had the medical records. And they had other information, but there actually is no reliable information about the population. They figured it was between 1,800 and 2,200 people. 2,200 came from the health records. I don't know where the lower number came from. It looks like it's closer to 1,800 than 2,200. That's helpful to them. It's helpful to know how many babies were born this year, because it's a matter for planning ahead. There were 100 babies born this year. So it means that has implications for the school, for the Head Start program, for all kinds of things. They told us recently that Health Canada sent 800 syringes for H1N1 vaccination because Health Canada was using 2001 census data for the population of the fluid. Well, the nurse felt that wasn't enough syringes. Now she's able to document that that's not enough syringes because they know how many people in the community would need the shot. So it's that kind of immediate use that a simple census like that can do. They're thinking ahead to when they have to face regulatory hearings and negotiations with the Baffin Lands Mine if that goes ahead. And they wanted to have socioeconomic baseline data so that going into those hearings, they could talk about what their circumstances were and they'd know what they wanted. Some of the questions we're asking have to do with what people's aspirations are, what kind of work they would like to do, and what kind of training they think they'd like to have. It's not all focused on the mine, it's about their future. But it should be helpful for the community as it prepares its position about the mine to know what people said to those things. Okay, next slide, please. This is just, I've been talking about all about this. This is an overview of the products. You'll see that it really was a collaboration. So Sheena's, part of Sheena's education, Sheena Kennedy's education is reflected there. She's writing a paper, a research paper, which has contributed to her development. And of course, the community will get a copy of that as well as all the reports. And we'll be doing some, when all of this work is done, we'll be doing some academic publications, hoping to link up with work, other work that people have done already to help us all understand the modern dynamics of the social economy. One of the things is that we don't really have very much empirical information about particular communities, you know, numbers that people can rely on. So we're hoping that this study can make that kind of a contribution. One more. And that's the end. Thank you.